In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. When we think of the different heresies, the different heretics, the Protestant sects, and all these outside of the church, even those that claim to be Christian, our tendency is to think of those who are more, who have the fewest errors as being closer to us, being more like us, and therefore they're not quite so bad as the other ones. But I was reading the other day, I think it was Pope Leo XIII. He made a statement that said, the worst heretics are those who only differ on one or two little points. He says, they're worse because they're more cunning. They draw closer in to deceive us. Those who are outright heretics, whether they call Christ an impostor or whatever it is, those are not nearly so dangerous to us as those who will hold all the doctrines except for one little point, deny one little thing. It's that one little drop of poison that spoils the entire thing. And they're so much more dangerous to us because they appear so much more like us. It is so much easier for us to say, oh, well, we agree in all of these things. And having read this, I'm reminded of what I heard so many times, that the Novus Ordo promoted the idea we should emphasize that which unites us instead of that which divides us. We should look at the things that bring us together. And those whom we agree with so much, we should be friends. But that one little bit, as the Pope tells us, should be enough to warn us to stay away. Not to draw nearer, but to push back. And just yesterday, I happened to see this flyer promoting the idea that we can all get together and pray the rosary to avert God's punishment upon this county and ultimately the country, to avert God's punishment for the abortions and all the evil that our governments are doing. We're going to pray the rosary and we invite everyone to come and pray these 15 decades with us. And it all sounds so wonderful, so good, and so holy. What could be wrong with imploring the Blessed Mother? Asking her to obtain forgiveness for us. Or asking her to intercede and avert God's justice. And several thoughts crossed my mind. If it is God's justice that this country should be punished, we should be seeking God's will that should be done. We shouldn't be praying to avert God's justice. We shouldn't be praying to avert God's punishment upon this country. We should be praying that this country gets on its knees and repents, that it stops doing the evil, that it stops offending God and deserving His wrath and this punishment. We shouldn't be asking the Blessed Mother to spare us from the punishment. We should be asking her to convert us. And if it is necessary that this punishment should come to change us, then we should be praying, bring it on. We have this twisted notion that we pray to God that our punishment should not be imposed upon us. But yet in the Our Father we say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we want God not to punish evil, but somehow to bless it now. I'm hoping this sounds as illogical to you as it does to me. That we're going to pray to God that His will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. But right now we don't want you to punish us, even though we know it is just and it is your will that we should be punished. Please don't punish us. And then we have the audacity to bring God's Holy Mother into this and ask her to intercede for this intention. That God's punishment should be averted. And they think that somehow this is honor to the Blessed Mother. They somehow see themselves as pious, as holy, as devoted Catholics, as devoted servants of the Blessed Mother. When it seems to me that the only thing that God can behold in all of this is evil. It must be revolting to Him. It must be revolting to His Blessed Mother. And I'm reminded from so many readings and studies and exorcisms that the devils hate the Blessed Mother. They can't stand the name of the Blessed Mother. And so you might ask, how is it that these heretics can all pray the rosary? They can all wear their scapular. And we can have the Novus Ordo praying the rosary, and the Lefebvrites praying the rosary, the ex-Lefebvrites praying the rosary, the Wathanites, the Feniites, all these different ones come together, and all in unison, all in one, they're going to pray the rosary to avert God's punishment upon this nation. And I ask you, do you really think that all these people, with their differences of doctrine and opinion, their different concepts of God that they've created in their own image and likenesses, can they all pray to the Blessed Mother at the same time and all be pleasing to the Blessed Mother at the same time? I suggest that that is impossible. The first commandment that God gave us, that He showed to Moses on Mount Sinai, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. And it doesn't matter whether they call their strange God Jesus Christ or not. It is a strange God because it is one that they've created. They've inverted all right order. In the book of Genesis, where we are told that God created man in His image and likeness, they have created a God in their own image and likeness. They have created a mother of this God in their own image and likeness. And we must not bow down before their false gods. We cannot pray with them because they are praying to a false deity. They are praying to a false concept of the Blessed Mother. And far from being pleasing to God, I think it is an abomination. Just as I think the abomination there of this Novus Ordo, when they go and have their ecumenical prayer with the Baptist or the Methodist or the Hindus, the Buddhist. It is all an insult to God. It is all an abomination. And I say it makes no difference whether they call their false god Buddha or the Blessed Virgin. And as I think it was Pope Leo said, it is more dangerous for them to call the Blessed Virgin, because the terminology is that which true Catholics use. But they have a different understanding, a different meaning for these words than Catholics do. And in promoting this ecumenical idea, they are able to entrap and draw so many away from the faith. Not completely, but in just one little doctrine, one little point. And as we all remember from our basic catechism, it is enough to deny one doctrine that God has revealed, and you have basically denied them all. For you have called God a liar. God, who has revealed this to us through His bride, the Church, you have called a liar. And therefore you have denied every single doctrine. But even though you pretend to keep all these other doctrines and just deny this one, you are outside the Church. And you are more dangerous than the Islamist, the Mohammedan. You are more dangerous than the openly Satanist individual, because you draw souls away from the Church under the guise of bringing them to Christ. You take them away under the guise of praising and honoring the Blessed Virgin Mary. You bring them together to spit in her face, to insult her, to mock her, to ridicule her. And this is worse than those who openly deny her. And so many think that somehow they're going to get into heaven because they carry a rosary in their pocket, or they wear a piece of cloth around their neck that's stamped on there, "Whosoever dies wearing this scapular will not suffer the fires of eternal fires of hell." And they think, okay, I'm safe now. Much as the Protestants who went and made their altar call and said, "Now I've been saved. I have nothing to worry about. I'm going straight to heaven." These alleged devotees of the Blessed Mother have taken something good, something holy, these sacramentals, and have changed them into superstition, good luck charms, into paganism. And these sacramentals that have so many graces attached to them will prove their own damnation, because they have twisted them. And many years ago we had an article in the Serif that I found in an old book exposing this lie that's printed on so many of these Carmelite scapulars. "Whosoever dies wearing this scapular will not suffer the eternal flames of hell." It was a forgery. And if you'll stop to think about it logically, you'll see it had to have been. But what was actually said? What graces, what blessings are actually attached to this sacramental, to this scapular of the Carmelite order? this mitigated habit that Carmelites wear. When someone is enrolled into the scapular, they're enrolled in the confraternity of the Carmelite order, which entails not just wearing this piece of cloth, but it entails living up to the duties, the obligations, the responsibilities. Of this Carmelite congregation that you have become a part of when you are enrolled in that brown scapular. And I have no doubt or hesitation to say, if you live up to those standards, if you fulfill within your life the ideals that this Carmelite order, that this Carmelite scapular is supposed to represent, then I have no doubt, yes, you won't suffer the pains of hell. But just wearing the scapular isn't going to get you in there. Just saying that you believe in Jesus isn't going to get you into heaven, despite however many Protestants want to say it. And I say, no matter how many traditionalists want to tell you just wearing this scapular is going to get you into heaven, it is a lie. It is an attempt to say faith is all that's necessary. You don't need any works. And it really doesn't even matter what you believe in, just have faith. I repeat that I think all of this is nothing but an insult to God, an insult to the Blessed Mother. And if we really wish to make a change, to make a difference, we should say our prayers to the Blessed Mother, our rosaries, our devotion with greater fervor. We should embrace our cross with greater eagerness to make reparation for the offenses of our family, our friends, our neighbors, our country. Not uniting our prayers with theirs to a false god, but if anything, inviting them to abandon their false god, their false worship, their false prayers, and come to the true church. Come to the true realization that Mary is offended by even the slightest denial of her son, the slightest denial of even the smallest doctrine that seems most insignificant to us is a great offense against God. The denial of just that one little aspect is enough to cut us off from the mystical body of Christ, to cut us off from God's graces, to cut us off from eternal salvation. And though it seems like a good idea to gather as many as we can together to pray, to avert God's justice, I think it is a foolish endeavor. If we are truly wise, it seems that we will pray the Our Father with greater fervor, begging that God's will be done here on earth. If it is His will that we should suffer, which as I mentioned last evening, it is His will that we suffer, otherwise He would not have invited us to take up our cross daily and follow Him. If that is God's will, that we should suffer, that we should bear a daily cross, it seems most foolish for us to plead with Him not to punish us, not to do His will, not to strike us when we need to be struck, not to punish us when we need to be punished, That seems a foolish request. I think, on the contrary, we should be begging him. As the saints, I can't remember which one exactly, but I do recall reading one of the saints said, "Lord, cut here, burn here, beat me here and now, but spare me an eternity." We should be seeking out that cross, seeking out God's justice, his punishment now, so that we might be spared later on. Trying to create this paradise here on earth is a fool's errand. It's impossible. This world is only going to be recreated after Christ returns. Until that time, it is our valley of tears. And it is a very lonely place to be. For it requires us to die to ourselves, to die to this world. And only when we accomplish this will we be able to put on the life of Christ, to rise from this death, to get down from this cross and be this new creature in Christ, to have this new life within us, to speak with God face to face, as Adam did when he walked in the garden of paradise before his sin. All of that is reserved for us later on. We're not going to create it here and now. The only thing I think that we have here and now is a love of Christ crucified. A love to die with Christ, to be buried with him, with the faith and the hope that we will rise glorious with him on that last day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.